All right, we're starting here on the top of Lamed Tet Amud Aleph, first line. Ba'omar Rabba or Amar Rova, Shma Mina Kesher Yom Do Raita. This you conclude that the top knot is Mina Torah. Now, first of all, we haven't brought any evidence to that fact. It's actually the upcoming statement of the Gemara that will be evidence to that fact. That's number one. Number two is, whenever it comes to something like this, the question of Elyon is difficult. Because you would have thought Elyon always means the highest one. But when you're dealing with things like tzitzit, Elyon can either be the one closest to the baguette, which is the highest on the strings, or Elyon can be the one furthest from the baguette, because it's the highest along the strings themselves, away from the baguette. So Rashi over here, if you look, says, in terms of Kesher Elyon, Shimdilavid Elachad Kesher B'Sofo, Avid Leish Mekayem Egdil Kulo. If you put one Kesher in there, it holds the whole windings and everything in place. So it mentions that one kesher. Rashi says you just need one kesher. That's the kesher. But which kesher are we speaking about? Kesher Elyon. Elyon means the one furthest away from the baguette, the last knot that you make, because that holds the entire gedil together. That is the kesher Elyon that we're speaking about. The Bali et Tosafot say, Bekuntres perush shnei perushim. Rashi brings two perushim down. We only have one. But if you look in the Shita Mekubetz, he brings an alternative view, which is that the kesher Elyon is the one actually closest to the baguette. And Rashi himself in the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that. And he says, says the one at the bottom of the gedil is too far away. The Bali Tosfot favor saying that the knot is the knot closest to the baguette. That's the Kesher Elyon. As Rashi over here says the Kesher Elyon is the one furthest from the baguette, the one at the bottom of the gedil. The Rashi in Sanhedrin, and Rashi in the alternate version that Tosfot brings down, and the Shita Mekubetzet brings such a lashon from Rashi, it's also like the Bazilai Tosfot, which is the Kesher Elyon. How does he know this? If you think that it's only the Rabbanan, that not, my itzrich lemishrei sadin b'tzitzit. Why do you have to allow kilayim in tzitzit? Shita, atokev tkifa achat enu chibur. If you just put one stitch through, that's not considered to be a connection. Elishma mina deoraita. That must be midoraita, because otherwise you wouldn't have a problem of kilayim. And that means you have to put in something that is permanent. You need a kesher shokayama. You need some sort of attachment between the pitzemer and pishtim that makes it that item is now locked together, interwoven together. That only happens when you have a kesher that is of a permanent nature, a kesher that is necessary. If it was the fact that you just needed to pull the strings through the hole in the baguette and you could let them hang, then there wouldn't be any issue of kilayim. Then you wouldn't have to permit kilayim, because those are loose strings hanging through a hole in the baguette. That's not called attachment. That's a tkifachat. That's one stitch through. That's pulling it through once. So it must be that if you're permitting kilayim, that you're doing something more to generate a lock or connection between the tzemer and the pishtim. That is generated by the kesher, by the knot that you're making. The kesher elyon, whether again closer to the baguette or furthest from the baguette, but that kesher makes it that it's permanent, or makes it that they're locked together. And so because of that, now you've generated kilayim. That would only be true if that was necessary midoraita. And just to note that the kesher that we're speaking about here, the way that we think about it is you take all four strings from one side, four strings from the other side, and then tie them together to create the knot. There are many Rishonim believe that you don't need to tie the knot with all eight strings. Just the string that you're doing the wrapping with, you can knot that string, and that creates the knot that's there. If you don't require a knot, why is kilayim b'tzitzit an issue? Now, that could be for one of two reasons. Rashi over here says that the reason is, midoraita, you have the smichud aparshiot. You have the juxtaposition of the lotubash shatneis and the gdilim tasilach. So those two are juxtaposed to each other. And that teaches you that you can put kilayim b'tzitzit. So he says, if it was only midrabanan, why do you need a pasuk in the Torah? Why do you need something in the Torah to tell you that you can put kilayim in there? Because midoraita, there's no problem of kilayim. There's no necessity for a knot. Now then, the Shita Mekubetzet questions whether that's really true, that the psukim are the source for this, kesher doraita, because you could learn out the necessity for tzem and pishtim here, even without the smuchim in the parsha. Because you can learn that out of Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. Because they have to be made out of Tzemer Pishtin, and by definition that means if you're putting in Tkelet, you're going to be Doche the mitzvah of Kilayim. And therefore, why do you need Smuchim to be Matir Kilayim? If that's the case, why in the Gemara in Yevamot is asking that question? The answer is to teach you that Kesher Elyon is Midoraita. Or we have on the second half of today's daf that the smukhim or the semer pishtim come to teach you the fact that semer pishtim works on any beget and not just on a beget semer or beget pishtim. So we have uses for the smukhim. So how do you know from the smukhim the fact that you need a keshel yom doraita? And therefore that's not a proof or can't be a proof to the fact that you need a kesher midoraita. And so therefore in the shita mekubetzet od aleph he brings from a teretz aram that the Ram says that a medaktek, if you're careful and understand how this type of question is asked, it's asking about all the mishnayot and braitot all over Shas that seem to indicate that you have permission or need permission to put in kilayim. That would only be true if you were generating kilayim. If you weren't generating kilayim, why would the mishnayot have to go out of their way to permit you to do it with kilayim? It would have been automatic because you're not creating kilayim because there is no knot that's there. The fact that kilayim is a problem shows you must be doing something that is problematic for kilayim, and that is making a knot, that is pulling them together in such a way that they are now together, entwined, locked together. And that's what it means here, that the kesher is midoraito. Kilayim here can arise for two reasons. It could be that you have a beged pishtan, and now you're putting tzemer strings in there because tchelet is made from tzemer. That's one aspect of kilayim. The other aspect of kilayim is that the strings themselves. You can have the tchelet is tzemer, the white is pishtan, and the strings themselves are tzemer and pishtim. And so first of all, if you lock them together with a knot, now they are interwoven together. And then you have kilayim just from the strings themselves being pishtan and tzemer. Aside from that, stitching tzemer and pishtan together creates a problem of kilayim. And so when you go through the loop, the hole in the corner of the tzitzit, and then you tie it, that's the equivalent of a stitch, which is now locked in. If you stitch in and out again, and then the stitch will not come undone, that's already kilayim. So too, if you pull the strings through the hole in the beged and you lock them in, that's the equivalent of stitching the strings into the beged, and if you lock them in place, that will also create kilayim. All right, Rava bar Rav Ado Amar, Amar Rav Ado Amar Rav, Im nifsaka chut mi'ikaro psula. If the string tears mi'ikaro, mi'ikaro means from the root, meaning all the way back at the top, as Rashi says, Hanurosh amechubar letalit, the area that is attached to talit, that is psula. Yotiv Rav Nachman, Mekomar lahashmaitito. So Rav Nachman was saying over this memra from Rabba bar Ravado, in the name of Ravado, the name of Rav, and Eitvei Rova, the Rav Nachman. Now Rova, the Talmud of Rav Nachman, asks him, Bamed varim amurim bitchilato. That's only true in the beginning. Aval sofo, shirav, gardumav, koshu. Then the shirayim and the gardumim are any amount. So my shirav, my gardumav. Question is, what is shirayim and what is gardumim? Until now, we thought that gardumim were shirayim, because gardumim means the residual of the string. But now you have a braita that has shirayim and gardumim being separate terminologies. My lav, shirav di ifsik minayu v'ishtaner minayu. So shirav means that some of it ripped off, some of it still remains. Gardumav, di gardum, irgadume. And the argument means that it was sliced off completely. It's completely gone. So Rashi explains that you have two options. You have shirayim, which is that you have some residual left. And you have gardum, which is that it's totally cut back. But the problem Tosfot has with Rashi's explanation is the braita says koshu, which seems to indicate that there is a shiur both for the shirayim and the gardumim. And how can Rashi say, well, shiarav means there's some residual left. Gardumim means there's nothing there. So Tosafot comes up with a different explanation of the difference between shirayim and gardumim. He says shirayim means one of the strings was ripped, but the others remained whole. And gardumav is the igardu kulam, that all of them were ripped, but both of them have a koshu left. So that means that you have now a qualification in the braita that this is only problematic when you start out the tzitzit. But if you started out with kosher tzitzit and then they got ripped back or the strings tore in this manner, they'd be fine. So they gave you two options of how they tore. They tore with shiarav, which means there was some residual there, and they tore with girdumav, which means that it was completely torn. And yet there, the bright is saying that it's fine. You are bringing a member that says it's psula when it's igardum. So lo, chadok toni. It's actually one terminology. Shiurei girdumav koshuhu. The amount of shirayim for gardumim is a koshuhu. You combine the two of them together, and it's giving you what is the amount of a residual of a gardumim. It just means to be something left. some residual that you have that's left, that's enough. But if they were all the way back to Igaro, that won't help you. Vilema gardumav shiarav lamali. Just say gardumav. Why are you mentioning shiarav? Hakamash malan, the beinin shiura, the gardumav, kedela anvan. Why is it mentioned shiarav? That's to tell you that the gardumim, it's not really a koshul. It's really a kedei aniva, which is what we spoke about yesterday. It has to be enough to loop it. So that's the conclusion here, that even if they're all ripped, you need at least a looping's worth in order to make them kosher. Now that goes back to the Gemara yesterday where we saw the differences between the Rambam and the Balei HaTosafot and Rashi with regards to how Gardumim work or what is the reason that Gardumim are protected. And that also has to do with the interplay between what we saw yesterday between Relva and the Bnei Rabbi Chia. But in the end, the Balei HaTosafot concluded that if you have a Kedei Aniva left, it doesn't matter then how many strings are cut off. As long as you have a Kedei Aniva, each one of those strings is kasher in and of itself. And therefore, the tzitzit are kasherim. If you have less than a kedei aniva, then you have to start using other strings to protect it or to allow it to work. That's the difference we saw between the Tosafot and the Rambam. Rambam says that the strings are less than a kedei aniva, then the other strings are kasherim, but the one that is less than a kedei aniva is no good. There's the Balei Tosafot, Rav and Rabbeinu Tam, and another pshatim that say that is the strings are still long, the ones that are shlemim can protect the ones that are less than a kedei aniva. And that's why Tosafot over here gave those two explanations. He says there's one case of shiarim, which is a kol shu, that when you have any residual, then if you have whole strings, they're going to protect it. Versus a case where it's igardum, where all the strings are cut. Where all the strings are cut, you need at least a kedei aniva in each of the strings, otherwise they're not kasherim. So the big difference for them is that a kedei aniva makes the string inherently kasher. A string with less than a kedei aniva in it then needs something else to help it, according to the Balei Tosafot. If you have whole strings, they can help the one that is less than a whole string. According to the Rambam, we just ignore the one that's less than that size, and you still are mekayim the mitzvah with the other strings. That's assuming that there's a difference between the tchelet and the lavan. The fact that one is not me'akev the other means that if the strings are that short, you still yotze the one mitzvah, the tchelet or the lavan, of whichever one doesn't have the shortened strings. Beit Yosef, in summarizing the different shitot over here, speaks to the issue that you're raising, which is that we actually tie our tzitzit differently than they did in those days, which is that when we tie our tzitzit, we ensure that when you start out, you loop them through with the four strings, so you have four strings on each side to get to the eight strings, and then you start to knot them. What we do is we make sure that the four strings, when they come out, are always the same four strings. So every time you pass a knot, the four strings on one side, the four strings on the other side, are the same four strings in the loop up above. So when you get to the bottom, the four strings are still four strings one side, four strings on the other side, are the same four strings coming out of the loop in the beged itself. That has an advantage and a disadvantage, but one of the advantages is if you have the strings ripped all on one side, you always know that you have a string left because the other side is the other half of that string. And therefore, by definition, the ripping is not enough to disqualify the tzitzit because you have tzitzit on the other four that are protecting it. So that's what helps you with that type of structure, because then if you lose or cut, as long as they're always being cut on the same side, it's okay. Once you have them be cut on both sides, then there's a possibility that it's the same string. It's the same string, then you have a problem with gardumim if they're not long enough. Now again, this all assumes that the gardumim are like Rashi, that's below the last knot, meaning where the anaf is, not where the deal is. And therefore, once it shortens up to the knot, then it's problematic because we are afraid that that knot's going to come undone and that's going to start to release the tzitzit. If we are choshesh for Rashi and gardumim, and you keep the string separate, as long as they're all ripping on one side, you're fine. If they rip on two sides, then you're into a problem because then it's possible that you're missing an entire string. And again, that also will depend on what you think. Once you're missing an entire string, is that problematic? According to the Balei HaTosafot, if you have whole strings, they can cover for the shortened string. According to the Rambam, that string is gone at that point. So when we're choshesh for all the different deot, then when you rip it on both sides, then we have to worry about those tzitzit and they have to be replaced in that situation. The wrapping string counts towards the number of strings that you have, which is important here. You might think that you need eight strings, and then you have a wrapping string. So what it comes to tell you is the wrapping string is one of the eight strings that are there, and you don't have to have a core of eight, and then a wrapping string, but the wrapping string itself is one of the eight strings that you're putting in. Amar Rav Yosef, Shmuel Amar v'lo Rav. Shmuel said it and not Rav. Itmar Nami, and we have something that corroborates that. Amar Rav Bachana, Sachli Rav Boshai the Minusha, and then some Gersot have Mishmei the Shmuel. Chud Shel Krach, Olela Min HaMinayan. Counts towards the number of strings that we have. Yotiv, Rovo, or here it's Rabba more likely. V'ka'amar Mishmei the Shmuel, said over name Shmuel. Chelet shekarach ruba ksheira. Chelet that is wrapped in the majority is still kasher. Now, this is one of those key times where the word chelet is going to be interpreted by the Rishonim in different ways, and that will have impact over here. Rashi says, if you look at the word chelet, Rashi translates that, tzitzit. Chelet does not mean the chelet of the tzitzit, it means all of the tzitzit. And what Rashi says over here is, chelet shekarach ruba means tzitzit, in which the majority of it is wrapped, or the majority of it is gedil, that is still ksheira. On the other hand, the Rambam always reads the word tchelet, not to mean kol tzitzit, but literally to mean the tchelet, because he thinks that the tchelet is used to wrap with. And therefore, when it says here, tchelet shekarach ruba, means that he had the tchelet, and he wrapped the tchelet around the tzitzit for the majority of the way. In this scenario, you end up with the same story, but it has to do with how you define tchelet. Rashi just says tchelet means the tzitzit. So the tzitzit are now knotted or tied and have the deal all the way down through the majority. Rambam says the tchelet was wrapped around through the majority of it. But that means the string of tchelet was wrapped all the way down. Amar le Rav Yosef, Rav Amra, v'lo Shmuel. This one is in the name of Rav and not Shmuel. So he's correcting him in both instances to switch who he says in the name of. Itmar Nami, Amar Ravuna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Sheshet, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav. So here we have it quoted in the name of Rav. Tchelet Shekarach Ruba Ksheira. Rav Chia, Breder of Natan Matni Hachi. He had it in the following manner. Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav, Sheshet, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav. Tchelet Shekarach Ruba Ksheira. The Tchelet is wrapped around, it's Ksheira. Bafil lo Korach Ba Elo Chulia Achat Ksheira. And even if only you do one Chulia, it is Ksheira. And the right way to do it, the way to make it aesthetically pleasing, and to do it in the mitzvah min ha-muvchar, shlish gedil u'shnei shlishei anah, is your one-third tied up with knots, and two-thirds of it are the straight strings that come off the bottom, the anah. So again, the gedil is the area that's wrapped or knotted, and the anah is the branches or the strings that come out the bottom. So the proper way to do this is to have it be one-third gedil, two-thirds string. Now, if you go back to the statements they're making, which is tchelet shekarach ruba, if you now tied or made gedil in the majority, the way Rashi says it, two-thirds gedil, one-third enough, it's still ksheira. That's not me'akev. So even though the proper way to do it is one-third gedil, two-thirds enough, if you reverse them, it's still okay. And the second thing he says, v'alim korach ba'lo chuliyah achat ksheira. Even if you only did one wrapping, one knotting and wrapping there, that's enough as well. Meaning that b'diavad, you don't need it to have even be one-third. Just one wrapping would be sufficient. So he's giving you the two extremes. He's saying even if the majority is gedil, or even if the smallest amount is gedil, it's kasher. The proper way to do it, one-third gedil, two-thirds enough. And now the question is, kama shir chulia? What is a chulia? So Tanya Rabbi Omer, kadesh yichroch, vishne vishalesh. Means to go once, twice, three times. So a chulia is a description of the wrappings that sit between knots. So those are the times that you wrap the string around the remaining strings. So a chulia is comprised of a minimum of three strings that are wrapped around. And that's what we said before. If you only have one chulia, you have one thing where you wrapped it around three times, knotted above it, knotted below it, that's enough to make the tzitzit ksherim, and then you have gedil and ptil, even though that's not the optimal way to do it. Tano, apochot, lo yivchot misheva, v'mosif lo yusifo shlosh esrei. So we have a braita that tells us you may not have less than 7, and you may not have more than 13. Hapachot lo yivchot misheva, you shouldn't have less than 7 keneged shiva rikiim, because that is representative of the 7 heavens above. We know the names of the 7 heavens from the Gemara in Chagiga that lists out the 7 heavens over there. And in addition, we know from the Gemara upcoming that Chelet has a connection to the Kisei HaKavod, and to the heavens above. As we say, Tchelet Dome LeYam, Yam Dome LeShamayim, Shamayim Dome LeKisei HaKavod. So there's something about the Tchelet that connects it to the heavens above, and therefore having something that represents the 7 Rikiim would be appropriate. So that's where we get the minimum number of 7. V'amosif, lo yusif, al shloshesre. The one who adds on shouldn't add on more than 13. Keneged shiva rikim v'shisha avirim shebenehem. And that's keneged, or that is representing the seven heavens and the space between the seven heavens. That's how you get to the 13 number. And the question is about what is this said. The Braita speaks almost ambiguously about a number 7 and a number 13. And it doesn't give you the explanation as to what the antecedent of the explanation is. Because you have here a statement in the Gemara that brings from Rav, that's it's a member of an Amora. And then we have a Braita all of a sudden. In the placement of the Gemara, it would seem that this Braita is modifying what the Amora said before. Even though, of course, in reality, that's not the case. But the way the Gemara structures it would make it sound that way. And that's what Rashi reads it. That it's saying here, you may not have less than 7 chuliyot, and you may not have more than 13 chuliyot. We just define a chuliyah as 3 wrappings around. So what Rashi says, in Tosafot seconds, this is that the number of chuliyot that you have is a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 13. So that would be that how many times you wrap it around 3 times. That'll be defined by 7 and 13. On the other hand, you could learn this, and this is the way that it's brought in the name of Rabbi Natronai Gaon, is that the 7 and 13 are the number of wrappings that you need to do around. You should do no less than 7, and no more than 13. And that's defining the wrappings that we have around. Interestingly enough, the way that we do it today is that since we do not have chelet, then the wrappings that we have follow this Rabbi Natronai Gaon. And if you look at your tzitzit, if you do not have tchelet in your tzitzit, then you'll see that there's a knot on top. The first wrapping, the first chuliyah is 7, the next chuliyah is 8, the next one's 11, and the last one is 13. So that's having the 4 different sections. You only have 4 chuliyot, but you have 7, 8, 11, and 13. So that's being mekayim, the Rav Natronai Gaon, to say that what it means here, no less than 7 and no more than 13, is the number of wrappings that you have there. On the other hand, the way that Rashi and the Baalei Tosafot learn it, it's nothing to do with the number of wrappings you're doing. It's the number of times you need to wrap it. Now, Rashi says that there is a Mesorah to have 5 knots in the tzitzit. So the Baalei Tosafot at first suggests that those 5 knots are related to the fact that we don't have tchelet anymore. And therefore we use the 5 knots to get to us to this gematria that Rashi explicates upon here, which is that the word tzitzit equals 600 in gematria. Tzadi yud is 100. Tzadi yud is 100. Tough, which is 400. That's a total of 600. Then you have the 8 strings, and you have the 5 knots, and that equals 613. And that's what it means. It's chartem kol mitzvot Hashem, that you remember all of the mitzvot Hashem, because they represent 613. The Baalei Tosafot note 2 problems with this. The fact that the word tzitzit is never written in Malay in the Torah. It's always been in Choser without a yud in it. That means that you never have 600, you always have 590 in the gematria. It does try to rescue that. The second problem he points out is that if we believe that the Braita was speaking about the number of chuliyot that you have, how can you have 5 knots and 7 chuliyot? By definition, 7 chuliyot will require 8 knots. In order to hold a chuliyah in place, you need a knot above it, and you need a knot below it. So then you need a knot in the beginning, not at the end. Now, if you need 7 chuliyot, you have to have a minimum of 8 knots to hold it in place. So he says, where do you get this number 5 from? That's only true today where we don't have tchelet. But in the time of tchelet, they couldn't have 5 knots. Tosafot backs away from that as well and says that even in the time of tchelet, they have 5 knots. And this leads to the shita of the Baalei Tosafot in how to tie tchelet. So one of the shitot that people use in terms of tying tchelet today is the shita of the Baalei Tosafot. We need one more line in the Gemara and then we'll explain that. Tana, shu matkil bilavan. He starts out with the white. Hakanaf, min kanaf. Because we have the pasuk in the order of hakanaf and then ptzil tchelet. So kanaf means min kanaf. Min kanaf is white as we already established yesterday. And then afterwards, ptzil tchelet. Ukshu misayim bilavan. When he ends, he has to end with the white. Malin bakodesh, velo moridin. You go up in kedusha, not down in kedusha. Now, whether this really means literally Malin Bakodesh Vein Moridin, that the white has more kedusha because of the min kanaf, or that simply it has precedence because it's put in first. So it could be that the white has significance and therefore it has kedusha, and that's why it says min kanaf, and that's why you begin with it and end with it. That would be literally Malin Bakodesh Vein Moridin. Or it simply means because you started with the white, it would be inappropriate not to end with the white. But obviously the tchilet is the focus of Ariyu Temoto, is the main aspect of the tzitzit. And therefore, it's not really literally Mali Mikon Shrei Moridin, but just figuratively, if you started with the white, you should end with the white. So, according to most, this means that the first chuliyah and the last chuliyah have to be white. So if you have a minimum of 7 chuliyot, that means that the first chuliyah is white, the next 5 are tchelet, and then the last one is also white. And that comprises the 7 chuliyot that you need to put together. So the way the Bali Tosfot then solve the problem of the 5 knots, even though you need 7 chuliyot, is to say the following. You bring the strings through and you make a knot, a double knot then. Then you do 1 chuliyah of white, that means 3 wrappings of white, and then 3 wrappings of tchelet after that. So you have actually 6 wrappings in that unit. Make another knot. So now you have already 2 chuliyot in the first section. Then you do another 3 chuliyot of tchelet. Then you wrap tchelet. Just 3 times tchelet, knot. 3 times tchelet, knot. 3 times tchelet, knot. So now you have a total of 5 chuliyot so far, and you're up to 4 knots. Then in the last section, you once again put 3 of tchelet, 3 white, stand off with white, and then a knot. So that way you get 5 knots, because it's a knot in the beginning and a knot at the end. All of the sections have 3 loops in them, with the exception of the first and last. So the middle sections, 3 sections, have 3 of tchelet, and the top section and the bottom section have 3 white and 3 tchelet, and 3 tchelet, 3 white. And that's what's meant by the Gemara here. You start with white, end with white, and then you have the wrappings of tchelet between. Although the Shita Mekubetza brings a slightly varied version of this, where he says the following. You have a kesher at the top. After the kesher, you wrap 3 white prichot and 3 of tchelet, and then you make another knot. That's similar to what we saw in the Balei Tosafot. But then in the next grouping he does, you wrap another 3 of white and 3 of tchelet, and then you make a knot. That's 3 knots. Then you do another 3 of white and 3 of tchelet and make another knot. That's 4 knots. And then on the last one, you do just 3 of white, and then you tie a knot. So for them, they have 6 krikot in each section, 3 of white, 3 of tchelet, and in each section you have white and tchelet, 3 white, 3 tchelet, so that gives you 3 sections like that. And then the fourth section just has white, 3 white krikot in it, and that's how you accomplish white in the beginning, white in the end, and you have 5 knots. So that's a slightly varied version of the Balei HaTosafot. That is the shita of wrapping of the Balei HaTosafot, which none of you have here, because most of the people that wrap the tchelet wrap it like the Rambam. So most of you probably have the shita of the Rambam. Shita of the Rambam is somewhat troubled by this, because remember, according to the Rambam, the only thing you wrap with is the tchelet. So what's the white here? So according to the shita of the Rambam, you wrap 1 time with a white string, and then you wrap 3 of tchelet. And then you leave a space, another 3 of tchelet, space, 3 tchelet, space, 3 tchelet, so you get 7 of those. At minimum 7, and at maximum 13 of them. I think today most people put 13 of them there. And then you have 1 right string over at the end. That gives you what the Gemara says over here, 7 chuliyot. There's just 7 chuliyot of tchelet. The way the Rambam has it, that the tchelet, you do not actually knot under the tchelet. You loop the tchelet back through the krichot, and then you drop down a little bit. So you have 3 wrappings of tchelet. You loop that tchelet back through those 3 wrappings, and then you give a little space, and you wrap another 3 times. So he has 7 of those wrappings of 3 times for the tchelet, 1 wrapping of white at the top, and 1 wrapping of white at the bottom. That's how he accomplishes what's said in the Gemara here. That's the view of the Rambam. There is a view that's brought by the Rabbi of Rav Nachum Gnigon, which says that in every kricha, it has to start with white and end with white, which means that in every kricha, you have 1 white kricha, 3 tchelet, and then 1 white kricha. And then you do 7 of those krichot. So you have 7 krichot that are comprised of 5 strings. Each one of them has 1 white, 3 tchelet, and 1 white. So he doesn't say you do 1 white in the beginning, 1 white at the end. The Tosfot says means 1 white kricha in the beginning, 1 white kricha at the end. The Rambam says 1 wrapping in the beginning white, 1 wrapping at the end white. Rav Nachmanai says that every one of the chuliyot, you need to have 1 white, 3 tchelet, and then 1 white. On each one of them, you have to have that. So that leads to the shita the writer brings in the name of the Rav Nachman Gnigon. And then there are other ways to wrap it, another 3-4 other ways to wrap it. I'm not going to go through each one of them, but those are mainly focused on somehow integrating the tzitzit that we have today, which is the way that we do it today with the 7, 8, 11, and 13. and trying to incorporate Techelet into that. So it's a way to balance between the way that we currently tie our tzitzit and putting in Techelet. So most people, and this really depends on what string, either get like the Raivut, which means that you get a whole string full of Techelet, and then you have six other strings that are white, and then you wrap it like we just saw with Rav Nacho Naigon, or people get the one half string that is made up of Techelet, then they wrap like the Rambam, and that, to me, is the most common way I see, both probably from an expenditure standpoint, because you have to have the smallest amount of Techelet. It's only half a string of Techelet. One out of the eight strings is Techelet. And on top of that, the tying is actually probably some of the easier tying, because, again, you just do these three wrappings, you loop it through, drop down a little bit, another three wrappings, and it's all with the Techelet string, except for one white at the beginning, one white at the end. It actually turns out to be pretty straightforward in terms of wrapping the tzitzit and making the good deal that the Rambam lays out. That's all derived from what we're saying over here. And again, how you read the 7 and the 13, and how you read the white in the beginning, white in the end, will influence how you think you make the deal. For Halacha, none of this is ma'akev. None of it is ma'akev because, in the end, you just need something that is wrapped or good deal. There's no, these are all enhancements. These are all the things. The only thing that's ma'akev is a kesher elyon. You need to have a full kesher. You need some wrapping, like some little wrapping and another kesher, and that is ma'akev. Midoraita to have tzitzit to be kasher. If you want to enhance it, you want to do it the right way, that's what we're speaking about here, how to do it in the best way possible. Alright, that's in terms of tying the string. So again, the addition of tchelet adds in complication of how to do it. Because the way we do it today is, as the Rambam says in the Tshuva, made up. Because it was a way to somehow preserve some of the meaning or representations by making it that we have five knots and have that 7, 8, 11, and 13. Those all have symbolic meaning to them, but they're not really meaningful because in some way it doesn't accomplish anything that we're speaking about here, except for the possibility, according to Rav Nacho Naigon, that's the 7 and 13 that we spoke about. According to Moshe Rishonim, 7 and 13 is a number of chuliot, which we don't do because we don't have techelet, and then the white in the beginning, white in the end is only relevant if you have techelet. So for us, none of that matters at all. That's why with the reintroduction of techelet, all of a sudden, all these shitot become important of how to tie the tzitzit. The Rabbeinu Tam actually accomplished the five knots by tying a double knot in the beginning, then doing the krichot, and then after that, he put a triplicate knot in there. So you got the five knots by having two in the beginning, three in the end, and that's Malim Mekodesh. You have two first, and then three at the end, but did not put a knot between each of the chuliot, although it seems that most of the Rishonim believe that the knots are not just the beginning and the end, but the knots are all the way along between the chuliyot. Rav Baruch Hanan v'Yatve, they were sitting. V'kachalif azilau gabra demichse galima dekulet tchelta. He's wearing a beged that was all made out of tchelet. Remember, that's something that would be an extremely expensive, like today where it's expensive. It would have been someone who's wearing something that would indicate royalty, something of a political position, because to do something like that would have been very expensive. Viramilates kota, and he had tzitzit in there. Vigedila migdal. And the problem was that it was gedila migdal. Amarav, Rav says, yoi glima velo yoi tchilta. Nice beged, not nice tzitzit. Rabba Barchana amar yoi glima veyoi tchilta. Rabba Barchana said, no, nice beged and nice tzitzit over here. So what exactly happened? Again, this is going to relate to how you interpret the word tchilta. Rashi, again, says tcheilta means all of the tzitzit. Not tcheilet, but the tzitzit as a whole. So now he has a beged of tcheilet, and he has tzitzit are in there, because it says rami le tcheilta. So that can't be the problem. The problem is, obviously, that gedila migdal, that it was wrapped or knotted all the way down. That's what Rashi says. Kol tzitzit haya gedil, velo shir ba'anaf klal. There was no strings hanging at all. It was knotted or wrapped all the way from top to bottom, and no free strings that were laying out at the bottom. So Rashi sees the problem as gedila migdal. On the other hand, for the Rambam, he's going to read v'ramalei tchilta, that he put in tchelet, meaning that not that the tchelet refers to all the tzitzit, but rather tchelet refers to the wrapping tzitzit, and then it was gedila migdal, and then it was wrapped all the way down, meaning that he wrapped that tchelet string all the way to the bottom. The fact that it was Migdal Gdila means that the tchelet was only in the wrappings, but not in the anaf. So that could have been the question over here, whether it's a requirement that the tchelet be in the ptil, that it means it's also hanging it in the anaf, or is it only necessary to have it in the gdil? and Rabbi Bar Chana says, Ogdil, Ogdil, you can have it either way. You can have the Tchelet just in the Gdil, and not in the Anaf, or you can have it in the Ptil. You can also have it hanging down below. And Rav, on the other hand, says, no, it has to be that the Tchelet reaches into the Anaf and is hanging in the Anaf. And the Mishkan on Yaakov comes up with even a different view here, which says, Migdal, Gdil, and Ptil do not mean the Gdil and the Anaf, but they're both speaking about the Gdil, but they're different ways of putting it together. The Gdil means to braid, whereas the word Ptil means to wrap around. And the question is, do you need both braiding and krichot wrappings around, or one or the other is sufficient? And that's the machlokes here. Rabbi Bar Chana says, you could have Ogdil Ogdil. You could have either the braiding or the wrappings. You don't have to have both of them. And Rav says, no, you must have Ptil. You must have krichot over there to make the chuliot. And that is what the machlokes was between them, was that this guy had tzitzit with only braiding in them in the Gdil part, but not any krichot inside of the Gdil part. So now the Gemara says, but my kamiflege. What's the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Bar Chana? One of them liked the tzitzit, and one of them didn't like the tzitzit. So Rabbi Bar Chana, Rutsavar Ktiv Gdil, Ktiv Ptil. In Devarim it says Gdil, and in Bamidbar it says Ptil. O Gdil, O Ptil. You have the option. You can either do it Gdil, or you can do it Ptil. Ptil means hanging strings, free hanging strings. Gdil means that they are wrapped, really technically means that they are braided, but it just means that they're intertwined, they're wrapped together. Rav Savar, Lolam Ptil Bina. You always have to have some Ptil in there. V'hoi d'gdilim l'minyana hudata. Ptil shnayim gdilim arba'a. And the word gdil just comes to tell you that the number of strings you need. From gdilim we learned that you need four strings. So now, oset gdil upotleo mitocho. You make the gdil, means that you make the tied up in the wrap part. Ptilo mitocho. Rashi brings two interpretations as to what potleo mitocho is. Is oto chot. Shukarachbo yehe mina minyan. So Rashi brings two interpretations to potleo mitocho. One of them is that oto chut shukarachbo yehe mina minyan. Similar to what we said before, that the string that you are tying with is part of the count. So that means potleo mitocho. It's counted towards the strings. Or potleo mitocho means snake ptil anaf lamato. Dropping out of the gdil should be the free strings at the bottom. Tosfot also brings a third interpretation of what potleo mitocho means. He says that's what it means that you loop it through the hole in the knaf of the tzitzit. Potleo mitocho is the fact that you take four strings and double them into eight strings. That's how you get to the eight strings by potleo. Potleo mitocho means you pull it through the hole, and that gives you the two sides and the eight strings that you're going to work with. The other possibility, which I always thought, the way that the Rambam has the knotting of the krichot, is potleo mitocho. He re-enters the string inside of the wrappings in order to create the lock on them. So how he locks it in place is he wraps three times and takes the string, puts it through the top and pulls it down. That's how you lock it in place. And then the string drops down to another three. So I always thought that that could be potleo mitocho, that he's looping the tchelet back through the krichot. And that's what it means, potleo mitocho. Though in the context of the Gemara here, tila seems to mean free hanging strings and not something that's inside of the gdil. So now you have here two opinions. You have the opinion of Rabbi Bar Chana says, Ogdil Optil. The simple way to read that is mean it's optional. Either way, you can have free strings hanging, or you can have all gdil there. And that's what he said before, that all gdil was fine. When this guy had all gdil going down, it was totally fine. So Tosfot is bothered by the fact that Rabbi Bar Chana doesn't have any requirement for ptil, especially given the fact that the Sifrei learns from the word tzitzit that there's a requirement for ptil. And therefore, how can Rabbi Bar Chana not have a requirement for ptil? So here, in the Shittim Gubetzit, he brings from the Tosfot Chitzoniot the fact that even according to Rabbi Bar Chana, the proper way to do it is to have both gdil and ptil. All he's saying is that one is not makev the other. So even if you don't have ptil, the gdil will still be gdil, and it'll be yotzei the mitzvah of gdil. And even if you do have ptil and no gdil, you'll be yotzei the mitzvah of ptil without gdil. They're not makev each other. But the proper way to do it is to have both of them there. If Mordechai quotes the Re, suggesting that Rav's position is that all you need is ptil. All you need is enough, and you don't need gdil at all. But that's very difficult because we just had on the previous amud that Rav thinks that you need at least a minimum of one chuliyah. So we see that Rav does require a certain amount of gdil. Now, in terms of why Rav has to use gdilim to teach you the minyono, he says, "My tukhei the Rav the meimer gdilim the minyono name of the krab balumar tarvayu by gdil uptil." Because Rav believes you need both gdil and ptil. Why don't you say the gdil is just coming to tell you that? Tosfot asks that question, and then the Shita Megubetz in a note Yud Zayin brings from the Tosfot Chitzonio the following answer. Why you need the Minyona comes to show you that there's interplay between the Parshiot. Because what Rabbi Bar Chanan's suggestion is that you have two separate Parshiot. You have Dvarim and Bemidbar, and you can pick which one of them you want to do. You want to do Gdil, you do Gdil. You want to do Gdil, you do Gdil. Rav comes along and says, Gdilim teaches you the number of strings. And that means that Bemidbar needs Dvarim in order to know the number of strings. That means that there's interplay between the Parshiot. That also means that Gdil and Ptil need to be both present inside of the Tzitzit. And in that way, they explain Rav's position. That's not just Ptil, but Ptil and Gdil. And the fact that it's Minyono Atol is just an indication of the overlap between the Parshiot. The other question that you have to raise is, if we already have the word Tzitzit that tells you that they have to be free, flowing strings, then why do you need the word Ptil? So the Baal Tosfot suggests that there are two different issues. One issue is that the Tzitzit have to go from a Gdil into independent strings. And there's a separate mitzvah of lifrod to separate those strings. Make sure that they don't get twined together or interwoven together when you sit. You have to pull them apart. Whereas the Shita Megubetz and Onala brings another possibility that, yes, from the word tzitzit, we would know that you need free standing strings there. The problem is we don't know if those go first and then the Gdil second or the Gdil first and then the Ptil. So that's what Ptil comes to tell you, potleu mitocho. That from the Gdil, the free strings have to come flowing out of the Ptil, and it tells you the Gdil goes first, and then the Anaf, or the freestanding strings, afterwards. Amar Shmuel Mishmei Delevi. Chutei Tzemer, Potrim Bishol Pishtan. That Chutei Tzemer can work on a beged of Pishtan, a linen beged. You can use strings made out of wool. Ibailu, Shel Pishtan, Mahu, Shiftiru Shabal Tzemer. Can use linen strings on a Tzemer beged. Tzemer Bishol Pishtan, Hu De Patar. The reason that Semer works by Pishtan is the Kevin Tzchelet Patra, Lavan Nami Patar. Because you have to put in Kilayim in this beged. The linen beged by definition needs choir strings of Tzchelet, and Tzchelet is made from Semer. So by definition, you're going to have Kilayim over here by putting in the Tzchelet strings into the Pishtan. So once I'm already putting in Tzchelet strings for the Pishtan, I can also put in Semer strings for the white. So because it's almost like a Migo. Migo that I can use the kilayim for the tchelet, I can also use it for the white. About pishtim b'tzemer lo, but then maybe linen, which is not necessary to put into a tzemer beged, that would not be allowed. So Rashi says the chiddush over here is the fact that even though the white tzemer is not min kanaf, because you're dealing with pishtan that is white, and now you're putting in white tzemer, the chiddush is that you can still be yotze with that. The Baal Tosfot themselves, based on the chiddush that they said yesterday, that anything besides tchelet is called min lavan, then obviously that's not the chiddush over here. But rather, the chiddush over here is, despite the fact that it's not necessary to put the white tzemer in there, and you don't have to violate kilayim, you have permission to violate kilayim. So even though it's not mandatory for the mitzvah to do this, nevertheless there is a dispensation to do it, despite the fact that you're violating kilayim. And that, the Rabbein Utan actually says, stands le maskono. That even in the Mishkan of the Gemara, this permission or ability to use these strings is only when tchelet is extant, when there's tchelet around and you can make it with kilayim. If you don't have tchelet, you can't just put white strings of tzemer into a pishtan beged, even though technically kilayim is allowed by tzitzit. The Rabbeinu Tam nevertheless sees tchelet as a matir for the issue of kilayim, and without it you can't have kilayim. Obviously you can read this just as a hava mino of the Gemara, and in the conclusion, the Gemara is going to say that it works because kilayim is permitted. That means even if you just have white, you can put in semer strings into a white beged. The juxtaposition of these two psukim of shatneis to the pasuk of gedilim taselach teaches you that tzitzit have permission to be made out of kilayim, irrespective of which direction you're going in. Tashma, Tamarach v'Amar Rav Yehuda, Chutei Tzemer Potrim b'Shel Pishtan, Shel Pishtan Potrim b'Shel Tzemer. The Tzemer strings, you can use wool strings in a linen beged, and you can use linen strings in a Tzemer beged. Chutei Tzemer u'Pishtin Potrim b'Chol Makom, v'Afilo b'Shirai. And Chutei Tzemer and Pishtim, if you use either one of those materials, no matter what material the tzitzit are made of, those tzitzit work. So first of all, you can put them in b'Kilayim. The tchelet, by definition, is going to be tzemer. If you use pishtan for the white, you're going to have kilayim. And if you can use, even use kilayim on a beged that is not made out of wool or linen, another material. There are, of course, a number of assumptions here. First of all, that other materials are chayav and tzitzit. That's number one. Number two is the permissibility of using kilayim on those other tzitzit. So what you see from this memra of Rabbi Yehuda is that kilayim is permitted in all situations. That means that kilayim is allowed when you have a beged pishtan, you can use all tzemer strings. And if you have a beged tzemer, you can use all pishtan strings. Obviously, you need the tchelet, so that will be made out of tzemer. But you use pishtan strings. The Rabbeinu Tam, as I said before, it says that's still qualified by what we said above. That's only when tchelet is being used. Because tchelet gives you permission, by definition, to make something with kilayim. Once you have that, it's matir kilayim across the board. Without tchelet, the Rabbeinu Tam says that havamina stands in the mashkana, and there is no kilayim. Today, we can't use kilayim if you're just using white strings.
As the Shita Mekubetz, it says in Od Yud Chet, v'afagavda dedehu nami chutei pishtan potrim bebeget zemer. Even though it's not necessary, you're still allowed to violate kilayim. Lasot kulam tzemer miu kevan deledidhu nitan litchot tzemer bepishtan mishum detchelet. But because in a beg pishtan you have to use kilayim because of the tchelet, nitan litchot nami pishtan betzemer. That allows or permits you in the other direction for it to work. And if as if the mitzvah of kilayim has been completely suspended with regards to tzitzit, that it's almost a type of hutra, but he says that's only true when you have tchelet. If you don't have tchelet, then there's no hutra. If there's no hutra, then it doesn't matter in either direction. It's going to be problematic because you can be mekayem the mitzvah without using kilayim. The other rishonim say, no, that was the havamina. In the maskana, the Gemara already comes to the conclusion that kilayim is freely allowed to be used. And you can use it even if you don't have tchelet. I mean that even today. If you want to put white woolen strings into a pishtan beged, you could do that. We'll see tomorrow's daf that there's a gzeira against doing such. But nevertheless, there would be midoraita, permissibility of using kilayim, even if you don't have tchelet. So, but then we have this last line, which is that you can use seven pishtim in other materials. Upligei de Rav Nachman. And that argues in Rav Nachman, Dabar Rav Nachman, Shirayin, Turim min tzitzit. That when it comes to use of things or silk begadim that are not made out of wool or linen, there, patur min tzitzit. Eitva Rova, the Rav Nachman. Rova, Rav Nachman's Talmud asks him, Hashirayim v'akalach v'asrikin. So these are different types of silk. Shirayim is meshi. Kalach is a raw silk. And srikim is a floss silk. So they're all different types of silk materials. Kulan chayavin mitzitzit. They're all chayavin tzitzit. So his answer is, midrabanan. That's only midrabanan. Yochayim ha-seifa. Then what do you do with the latter half of that braita? Kulan semer pishtin potrin b'hen. Oh, wait a minute. Then you can use semer pishtin to use them. If you say they're chayavin midoraita, hainut mishtaru behu kilayim. That's why you can use kilayim. Semer pishtin strings being mixed together is kilayim, and you put them into a beged, whether it's a silk beged, so fine, we can permit kilayim if the beged is chayavin tzitzit midoraita. Eliyamart de rabbanan. If you think this beged is only chayavin midorabanan, heichem mishtaru behu kilayim. How are you permitted to put kilayim in there? Ema, o tzemer, o pishtin. It doesn't mean put tzemer and pishtin in there. It means either tzemer or pishtin. And even though, as the Bais also point out, this answer would have worked before to eliminate the question from Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda, nevertheless, the Gemara doesn't use it there because that's an Amora. And when it comes to an Amora, we expect him to define his statements and be clear about what he's speaking about. As opposed to a Tana who writes in a shorthanded form. So when they have a shorthanded form, we can then say, well, the Tana really meant O Tzemer, O Pishtin. But if a Mora writes Tzemer and Pishtin, we're not going to say that means O Tzemer, O Pishtin, because the obligation of the Mora is to expound and explicate on his words. If he doesn't, then the assumption is what he said is what he means. Ha'achanami bistav, that makes sense. The Tani Seifa, hein b'minan potrin, shalo b'minan ein potrin. They are only working in their own mean, but in other mean, they do not work. So this is a reference to the material from which you've made the beged of the tzitzit. If the beged is made from cotton, or the beged is made from silk, then you put in cotton tzitzit will work, or silk tzitzit will work. But they only work when you have a cotton beged, cotton tzitzit work. Cotton tzitzit don't work on a silk beged, and they don't work on a wool beged. They're not transferable. They can only work on the beged that is made from that material. Iyamar bishlamad derabbanan. Hainu miftara b'minan. That's why they work. Eliyamar doraita. If you're telling me that they're chayav and tzitzit doraita, semer pishtinu de patar. So then you need to use semer pishtim. So it says, im shumha lo iria. that was your only question, that would not be an undermining of what we said, because we have Rava, Kidarava. The Rava Rami Ktiv, the Pasuk says, Aknaf min Knaf, Uktiv Temer Pishtin. The Pasuk says that you have to use the material of the corner, and the Pasuk says that you have to use Temer Pishtin. Haketzad, how to resolve this inconsistency? The Pasuk in Devarim, just opposed to Temer Pishtin, it says it's Dilim Taselach, which says that the Dilim are made out of Temer and Pishtin. The Pasuk in Bamidbar says, Haknaf min Knaf. Then you make them out of the material of the beged itself. How do I resolve this stira? Temer pishtin pochim beminan ben shlomiminan. Temer and pishtin are the universal tzitzit. They can work on any beged, no matter what the material of the beged is. Sharminan beminan pochim shlomiminan in pochim. Any other material, that material can be used for its own tzitzit, but that material can't be used for another material tzitzit. So again, silk can be used on a silk beged, but silk can't be used on a cotton beged. It can't be used on a wool beged. Then wool and linen tzitzit can be used on cotton, silk, wool, linen, any beged you can use it on. That's Rava's resolution of this contradiction. And that resolution means that mida oraita, there's an opportunity to use tzitzit from other materials besides semer upishtin. And then that'll answer your question for Rav Nachman. That means that the Seifa does not have to be Midara, but not the Seifa, could be even Deoraita. And the Seifa says you can use the own material of that beged for its tzitzit, that may not be Midara, but that could even be Deoraita. And therefore you don't have a proof from that latter half of the Braita, that the first half of the Braita is being about or Tzemer or Pishtin, and the whole thing is Midara, but not. Rav Nachman's going to explain it that way in order to avoid a problem for himself, where he thinks that other materials are Pturimi tzitzit. He'll explain the Braita to say that it's or Tzemer or Pishtin, but that you cannot put Kilayim into these bigadim, because they're only chayavin, bitzitzit, midirabanan. Rav Nachman, why does Rav Nachman believe that all these other materials are turim from tzitzit? Because he holds ketana debei Rabbi Shmuel. So even though we haven't undermined what the explanation Rav Nachman gave to the Mishnah, we still want Tanaic support for his view, because we know that all the Tanaim believe in kanaf, min kanaf. And so, if Rav Nachman is going to eliminate the possibility of min kanaf, he needs to make support for that. And that is the Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel gives him that ability to say it because all begadim are big day tzemer upishtim. He always like the Tana debate Shmuel. The Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel, hoven emru begadim b'torah stam. Many times in the Torah, the word beged is used without any definition as to what the beged is. Pirate the chakatuv be'achat mehen tzemer upishtim. In one instance, it told you what the definition of a beged is. Rashi claims that it is by negaim. By Negaim it says, Beged Semer or Beged Pishtim. So that tells you that the definition of a Beged is Semer or Pishtim. Av kol Semer Pishtim. So too, anytime the word Beged is used in the Torah, it means Semer Pishtim and by Tzitzit. Say, Al Kanfei Big Day Him. So the word Beged is used by Tzitzit. That's the way Rashi learns it. The Baal Tosfot are not comfortable with that proof from Negaim. Therefore, he thinks that it comes from Shratzim. Tumat Shratzim, which is found in Parshat Tazria. Over there it says that if you make something tamei, it gives you a list of items that are tameim. And in that list are semer upishtim, which is a reference to beged. So from that, you see that beged is defined by semer upishtim. Now, he says that one of the problems with that is, why do you have to include then the hair of goats? Because from that pasuk, it also is defined as a beged. So the Tosfot over here comes up with there are two different types of Notza should be izim. That there's the hair of the goats. You can have some very thin hair, or you can have the thicker hair. So the thicker hair is used to make sacks out of. The thinner hair is used to make begadim. And that's why they have to include both of them when it comes to this, even though one of them is already mentioned in that pasuk by Shratzim. From that, we learn that beged is a beged semer, or a beged pishtim, and the only thing that you're chayav in midoraita, according to Rav Nachman. This Tana Bei Shmuel says the begadim are only Tzemer Pishtin is against or in conflict with the other Tana Bei Rabbi Shmuel. Because the other Tana Bei Shmuel says beged. Ainli ela beged Tzemer minayin ruo Tzemer gemalim v'tzemer anavim v'notza shalizim v'aklach v'asvikim v'ashirayim. How do I know that beyond the word beged meaning Tzemer Pishtin that I include other materials, which means wool from a camel, wool from a rabbit, or the hairs of the goat? This is where Tosfot made his comment. But don't we already know that from the word beged? Baklach, vasrikim, vashirayim. Those are all the different silks that we spoke about before. Minayin. How do I know this? Talmud Omar, O beget. It says beget semer, O beget pishtin. The word O is a ribuy. And that O comes to tell you that beyond the materials of semer pishtin. So you have a machloket in the Tana of the Bei Rabbi Shmuel as to whether the only beget in the Torah is semer pishtin, or is beget in the Torah have a broader capture, which is that yes, semer pishtin is the core type of begadim, but other materials will also be subsumed under beget from the ribuy of O. Now you could argue that that O only includes it for negayim, where the O is found, but not in general. Although from the Gemara here, it sounds like that O is telling you that in all places, the word beget is defined by multiple materials. At the end of the Tosfot, you can see that he says, Rabbeinu Tam Rashi posku kirova mishum dehu batra. They pass on like rova, which means all materials are chayavin in tzitzit midoraita. And you can see that in Ot Yudchet of the Shita Mikubetzet. The conclusion from here is then something that has ramifications in terms of tzitzit. Two things that you have to know about Talit Katan. The first of which is that there are many who believe that you're not yotzei the mitzvah of tzitzit with Talit Katan because it's just not big enough. One of the requirements of a Talit is that it has to be, that it be me'atef bo rosho verubo. It has to be enough that you can wrap it around your head and the majority of your body. And so for many reasons that a Talit Katan does not reach that size. Since it doesn't reach that size, you're really not even chayav in tzitzit with a Talit Katan. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah and others are makbid that you should try to make the brocha on your Talit Katan through your Talit Gadol. When you make your Talit Bracha on your Talit Gadol, you should have in mind to be motzi the Talit Katan, so you don't have to make a separate brocha on the Talit Katan. Obviously, you're not putting on a Talit Gadol, then you need to make the brocha on the Talit Katan, but it's a different brocha. We don't say l'hita teif batzitzit when it comes to Talit Katan. We say al mitzvah tzitzit because of exactly that problem. So that's one issue with the Talit Katan, is size. The second issue with the Talit Katan is material. What material is chayav in tzitzit? So now everybody knows that a talit gadol is made out of semer. They're all made out of wool because we want them to be chayav midoraita. The problem with the talit katan is that they're not always made out of wool. Again, linen's out because we don't make it with linen, both from a comfort standpoint and a price standpoint and a problem of putting in semer tzitzit. So nobody makes it out of linen, but people make it either out of wool or cotton. Or there are the other ones like the polyester ones. The polyester ones are the most problematic because that is a man-made material and that may not be considered a beget. Even if you believe other materials are considered to be begadim, polyester might be out because it's just not a natural material or fiber that's being used. It's not a beget as defined by the Torah. Some people say polyester is fine. It's a beget. Beget's a beget and today's a new material. Fine. You make a beget out of it. Then you put on tzitzit. Many think that polyester does not work. But then cotton will be subject to this machloket in the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Is it that the cotton is okay because we include other things, other materials besides semer pishtim and you're chayav in tzitzit with that? Or is it only semer pishtim that is chayav? It's a machloket haposkim with regards to this. So we do make a bracha on cotton tzitzit. We do put on tzitzit on a cotton beged. But the optimal way to do it is to wear bigdei tzemer, is to wear a woolen pair of tzitzit. And when you wear one fit tzitzit, then you're chayav according to everyone. Now, the size is still something that is a factor. Without the size, woolen tzitzit are for sure chayav and tzitzit midoraita, because that's a beged midoraita. Even though many people avoid it because of the discomfort or because of the heat, today they've created wool, which simulates the effects of cotton. Today they've done a better and better job of coming out with thinner and thinner wools, so that you can wear wool that feels like cotton today. Sometimes both in the sensory impact, if you really want to wear it directly on your body instead of over an undershirt. And in the heat aspect, they have them that they make wool that breathes. So it's actually helpful today that you can actually wear woolen tzitzit. And therefore you can be sure that you're chayav in tzitzit by wearing the woolen tzitzit. Again, that leaves out the qualify with the size issue as to whether you're chayav in size. Okay, we're going to stop here at the bottom of Lamed Tet Amud Bet.